What we're going to be looking at this morning in our series called Set Apart, we're in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 to 11, and that theme of being more than conquerors in Christ, of God being just incredibly greater than any opposition we face, really, I think, fuels what the audience, those who are hearing what Peter's words were sharing. It's the reason why they're able to live life in such a way in a difficult and hostile environment. So let's continue this theme, 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 to 11, and I entitle this message, Set Apart for Kingdom Life. Before we get to the passage, I wanted to share a quote, which I've shared multiple times, but I really like it because, yeah, I think it's just really a helpful way of summarizing some things. There's an author named John Piper. I think I can advance this, maybe not. He has a quote which I love. It was written in his book, Desiring God, 2 years before I was born in 1986. Kind of shows you how old I am. Okay, maybe that's really old, maybe that's really young. But the quote is, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. I'll read it again. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. And you almost could say the opposite, I guess, in some way. God is least glorified in us when we are least satisfied in him. When we try to find our satisfaction in anything or anyone except Christ, God is not glorified in that. And we are not satisfied. We do not find that deep yearning met that only Jesus himself can meet. Oh, awesome, AV team. I want to start with our last verse of our section this morning. And then last verse this morning. And it looks like, I don't know if I can advance this, guys. Here we go. Here's the last verse. It says, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Yeah, the message is over. No, we'll get to this in a little bit. Now, not another amen. I know how some of you guys work. You're like, amen, it's over. Let's talk about glorified for a moment. We just use that word twice in the John Piper quote, and we see it right here in Scripture. Glorified means to praise, extol, magnify, celebrate, honor, make glorious, clothed with splendor, to import glory on something, and render it excellent. It's to glorify. And we want to do that for our Lord and Savior. Not to glorify self, but to glorify Christ. And when we're separated from God's love, if we don't know Jesus Christ's love in a personal relationship, and maybe some this morning, you have yet to make the decision to commit your life fully to Jesus, so you don't know yet just the full extent of God's love in a personal way. Well, I just want to let you know, this is a wonderful day to give your life to Jesus. I just want you to know, he loves you so much and cares so much for you, and the most filling and satisfying thing is knowing your Lord and Savior and Creator Jesus and following him. Can I get an amen? Amen. All right, so this is where we're going to end up. So everything we want to do, we want to glorify God. But there can be a bit of a struggle when we're trying to do that because there's this whole sin nature, as the Bible talks about, this part that we are separated, we're broken, we're not perfect. I don't know if anyone would stand up. You don't have to, but don't stand up and say, hey, I'm perfect. I know I'm not perfect. The Bible makes that clear that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but we get to see the redemption possibilities in Jesus. But with that, for those who have given their life to Jesus, you might know it's sometimes tempting to go back to the former lifestyle. Sometimes there's sin patterns and things. It's not saying we're perfect yet. Only in heaven will be perfect. But the draw, let's go to what maybe we used to do, or maybe some things that maybe people don't know about, or maybe I have some friend groups that used to do things that, you know, maybe I'll get drawn into. And we're going to look at some of that tension, some of that struggle in today's passage. So let's look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1. I think we'll pop right up over here. Do you mind advancing the slide? Awesome. Thank you, guys. It says, since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourself with the same way of thinking. For whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live for the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for human passions, but for the will of God. For the time that is past suffices for doing what the Gentiles want to do. And those are people who don't know God. Living in sensuality, passions, drunkenness, orgies, drinking parties, and lawless idolatry. With respect to this, they are surprised when you do not join in with them in the same flood of debauchery, and they malign you.
but they will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this is why the gospel was preached even to those who are dead, that though judged in the flesh the way people are, they might live in the spirit the way God does. The end of all things is near, or is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly. Let's read it again. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Everyone said, amen. Amen. Yeah, it's just so good. We'll say it a couple times, actually. Let's pray this morning. God, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you how you spoke through Peter to the early church as they were suffering under persecution to live for you, God. And God, I pray this morning that we also can make those decisions, God, to live for you. God, help us, Lord, to get rid of things that are not glorifying you and to hold on to the things, God, that bring you great glory and where you find deep satisfaction in Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to look over a couple things, three areas. We're going to break down this text this morning. If we just go to the next slide. Let's say I have control of it. Oh, cool. Nice. So we're going to be looking at living for the will of God, being done with sin, dealing with hurt, and remembering the judge, and then kingdom life attributes. So let's talk about living for the will of God for a couple of moments. You see here that Peter's talking to Christians, and he's saying who are in a place of suffering, that's been the whole theme, and they're under persecution. And even though they're in a difficult spot, to realize, hey, don't go back to the things you used to do, the old patterns of thinking, but put on the mindset of Christ. Even while you're suffering, to pursue the things of God, not the former passions. I love how Jesus said when he was under attack by religious leaders when he was on the planet, they were wanting to kill him. And then Jesus responded and say in John 5, 19 to 20, Jesus said to these religious leaders, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, the Son does likewise." And there wasn't like a caveat to that, like if it's, you know, somewhat easygoing, if it's comfortable. But just, what's the will of God? What do you want me to go? Do you want me to stay? I'll stay. Do you want me to go somewhere? I'll go somewhere. It's a great way to ask God, what do you want me to do today? What do you want me to do this week? Lord, help me not just to go to things just because they're easy or hard, but Lord, let me be sensitive to the voice of God, that whisper, that I would know the will of God. Paul said to the church in Thessalonica, and 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 22, he said, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit, do not despise prophecies, but test everything, hold fast to what is good, abstain from every form of evil." Almost a similar theme in some ways to what Peter's writing to his audience here. That we want to live for the will of God daily. And I think every morning is an opportunity, or when you wake up, maybe college students, or I don't know if any of you are allowed to wake up in the afternoon, but, you know, whenever you're waking up in the day, morning, afternoon, God, it's another opportunity to say, God, I want to surrender this day to you. I want to give my life to you. I want to let my words, my speech, my actions be for you. I want to surrender. Because each day, as we probably all know, we can kind of make choices, right? Is this going to be more of a gym kind of day or a God kind of day? Am I starting it off serving me all day and trying to glorify me and lift up me and celebrate Jim? Or am I really trying to glorify God, exalt him, celebrate Jesus? And we really have that choice each and every day. And I would just put out there to choose daily, who will you serve? Will it be the will of God, or will it be back to old patterns of passions and sinfulness that do not honor God? Peter continues this theme in verses 3 to 6. And he has a couple things in this section. He talks about being done with sin, and he gives a couple of different sins listed. He talks about dealing with hurt from being done with sin and remembering who is the judge. So some of the sins that are listed is living in sensuality, passions, drunkenness, orgies, that's group sex, drinking parties, lawless idolatry, And for those that Peter's writing to, he's like, this is what you used to do. You used to hang out with friends, maybe family, some groups. This is what you used to be doing. This is actually your activities. This is what you're doing. But because of Christ and what God has done for you, the new life in Jesus, this is no longer to be your go-to. This is no longer to be what you're supposed to be doing. And as you're going to someplace new, it can be tempting to return to something old. You remember in the Old Testament when a whole group of God's people, Israelites, were free from Egypt, and they were out in the wilderness and following God to the promised land. And as they were in that distance and wait, and things were going difficulties, they hit persecution, suffering, resistance, all these kind of things. It's like, maybe we'll just go back to what we had. Which, what they had was fish from the Nile as they were slaves. But that seemed like a good option, right? Because they're hitting something difficult. Sometimes it's like, I'm hitting some challenges, I'm following after God, but I'm honestly more comfortable going back to something I used to do, which is actually worse. Now, for those in this context, they're coming to know Christ. I'm guessing some of them, they don't tell the ages, are coming to know Christ with friends who don't know Jesus yet. So that's a little bit harder than for, say, maybe for some of you or for me, if you grew up in like a Christian household. I came to respond to the love of Jesus at 5 years old, and my older brother, Pete, came to know the Lord before me. My parents loved Jesus. My twin brother, Dave, gave his life to the Lord one day after me. So I wasn't in some type of gang running the streets, you know, as a five-year-old, being like, hey, I got to push you guys away a little bit. You know, I can't do what we used to do on this list. You know, I'm following Jesus. I don't have that kind of testimony. But it's still a testimony. I want to put Christ first. And there's still temptation. So just because you don't have the testimony of, oh, I was on all this bad stuff and went here. The Bible says that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We all need God's grace. But for those who come to know Christ, and maybe from this morning you're exploring Christ, and you're like, I want to know more about this Jesus. If you make a step out and all your friends are living in sensuality and sinful living, and you're making a step, they're like, I want to put Christ first. I want to surrender daily to the will of God. I want to uplift him, uplift others. You're going to have friends and family being like, what's wrong with you, right? Like, what happened? Like, what kind of juice were you drinking at church or something? I don't know. It's just like, you seem a little different. You used to roll with this way. You used to say things this way. You used to hang out with people and do this kind of partying, but you don't anymore. I would say that's a pretty hard switch. And for some in different cultures and different countries, if you come to know Christ, then that means you're either shunned, you're put out, you're beaten, or you might even be attempted to, someone might try to kill you. So if you're born in like a Christian household, that's like a huge blessing on different ways as far as like having immediate difficulties. I think there's still that point of you have to make that ownership. I want to follow Jesus, not just because my parents follow Jesus. I want to follow Jesus, not because my youth pastor tells me to follow Jesus. I want to follow Jesus, not just because someone's preaching about it on Sunday, but making that ownership. But for those, if you made that switch and you had maybe a hostile environment, maybe people weren't so happy that you're not going to the parties you used to, you know what that feels like. You know what it feels like to be in a place of, I'm choosing Jesus. Maybe there's that temptation to go back. But Peter's saying here, you're done with that. Not saying that you're perfect, but because of Christ and what he's done on the cross, that's the old you. That's not the pattern you're following anymore. And with that, there's some reckless words, some hurtful words coming for the Christians that Peter's writing to. And maybe some of you, I'm sure, I've talked to some of you before, you've experienced that. Friends who have said things that are hurtful for you, family that have pulled away, maybe even shunned you, kind of like you're dead to me. And you know what that feels like. And realizing that Christ, you are truly better than anything else, folks will make that decision. And some of you have made that decision. I will follow Christ. No turning back. No turning back. Being done with sin, but also dealing with hurt in a godly way, responding in the way that Jesus has. In the last message, last week, we learned a little bit more about that. Peter continues saying, remember who the judge is, the one who will judge the living and the dead. We're all finite beings who only live a certain length of time. If you're younger, you probably think you'll live forever. I'm kind of thinking, like, I might live a long time, but now my body's getting more achy as I get near 30. I'm like, I'm not going to last, you know. Crystal will call me an old man. I'm like, well, you know, I gave it my best run, right? No. I'm still going. I'm optimistic about it. But yeah, I can feel things getting achy. I'm like, that didn't used to happen. We're not built to last forever on this planet. And God says that actually we have an eternal destiny, and he wants that destiny to be with him. We saw that wonderful drama, spoken word, talked about the love of God that's so powerful, so that even death itself can't stop the love of God from doing miraculous things. And for all of us, we have a destiny. And it's either with God or apart from God. And God does not want any to be apart from him forever. He does not want any to perish and not know the love of Jesus Christ. When I grew up going to a camp in New Hampshire, I remember there was some pastor preachers that would come to like this boys' camp. And man, they would talk about heaven, but then they would talk about the other eternal destination for people that didn't know Christ. And that's called hell in the Bible. And man, this guy would preach on hell like he's been there, visited, and came back to tell us about it. I mean, he was scary. I was like, I am so scared. I don't know if you ever heard messages like that. But it's like, man, it was like such guilt-oriented, really, really heavy. Very true, but it was kind of missing out on the whole love of God thing. And the whole position in the Bible is that God loved the world that he sent Jesus. That he wants you to be with him forever. It's not a whole, I'm here just to condemn you and fear you and guilt you into a relationship with me. No, God's like, I love you. I see the brokenness you're in. I know that you can't get out of it. I'm going to die on the cross for you. I'll be resurrected again because he's just that powerful that you might be able to have new life with me. Don't we serve an awesome God? Yeah. Just fantastic. If you don't know Jesus this morning, I just want to let you know you are deeply loved by God, and he is waiting for a relationship with you through his son, Jesus. Know that God is the judge. We're not the judge. So we don't need to walk around trying to bring final judgment on people that don't know Christ yet. We actually should be more propelled to move to a place of love and care for those who don't know Christ. If people don't know Christ, and maybe some of you don't know Christ yet, you don't have the Holy Spirit inside of you that just brings forth love and joy and peace. You don't have the scriptural following yet of Christ. And so we want to move in a place of love, realizing that there is a judgment, but we want all to come to know Jesus, and that's also God's heart as well. I want to focus in verses 7 and 11 on a bunch of awesome kingdom attributes for new life in Christ. So let's check that out. Verse 7 to 11. Peter continues and he talks about a couple things. He talks about living life with an eye on eternity. It's so easy to focus on the day-to-day, what you got to do, that it's just kind of like, hey, this is all I'm living for. My decisions, the way I use my time, my finances, my relationships, my thoughts, my words, all about this planet for now. He's giving the encouragement to the listeners, hey, the end is near or it's at hand. And there was always this preaching you see in the New Testament of this readiness of God can come back at any time. So let's live like God can come back at any time. Because if you're like, well, God's not coming back for a while, you know, it's kind of like mom or dad leaving and you got a bunch of chores to do. I could spread this out, right? You know, it's like I can make this a little bit slower. I know I'm supposed to do the dishwasher and clean the kitchen, but I got, you know, maybe a couple days. Maybe they're not coming back. I don't need to do it at all, right? I mean, again, this whole idea, how much can we get away with before the master comes back, right? And instead of being like, Lord, how can I get all this done? Or mom and dad or whoever, how can I get all this done in a way that honors you? If you were to come back early, I got it done. Does that make sense? So not doing like this kind of like apathetic kind of like, oh, I'll follow Jesus when it's convenient. I'll follow God when my schedule slows down. I'll go to church if there's no parties happening. You know, just like, but God, I want to, if you're coming back today, I want to be with your people. I want to be sharing Jesus at work and on the campuses. I'm ready to go because if you come back, I want to be part about your business. Just like Jesus. Jesus only did what he saw the Heavenly Father doing in heaven. So live with an eye on eternity. If you put both your eyes on eternity, you can kind of just look there and not maybe have as much practical applications. If you look just at earth, then you're not looking at it. But I think it's like, God, what are you doing in heaven? What's your perspective on the situation? How do you love people? Then how can I bring heaven down to earth? So instead of, as I was mentioning before, there was a bunch of just wild partying, drunkenness, group sex, orgies. Peter's like, you used to do this. People are saying, hey, why aren't you doing that? Instead of that wild living, he's like, be sober and self-control so you can pray. Prayer is so powerful. Andrea Ellison already talked about it, but we had a wonderful prayer meeting on this past Thursday. It was so neat because I don't know about if you've been in places where you just experience God's presence in such a tangible, almost like tactile-like way, but God's presence was there in such a powerful way. As I was just worshiping right over here, there's several other pastors and other folks all over the place, I just remember seeing person after person just start kneeling. And as folks on the worship team started kneeling. And then I felt like just God's presence was so heavy, my only option was to kneel. And I think when we encounter God in prayer, not just like an informational God, I have work today, God, I have school today, which is really important because God wants us to communicate with him like that. But when you connect with the living God and get that awe-ness, kind of like a throne room of heaven, Revelation 4 kind of feel, it's just like, how can I even stand? God, let my words be few. God, let me not say anything. I just want to hear from you. The creator of the universe is in this building, in this moment, is at home around a meal. Maybe you got like a prayer place that you like to go to, or you like to go for a walk or a run. But you encounter God in some way that's real, the living God. And it's just like, I gotta check things. You know, you just start like, God, I realize there's some things that are off. And Lord, it's not that you're here to condemn me, but Lord, I just want so much of you. Because when you taste that the Lord is good, literally nothing on this earth will satisfy. Amen? Literally nothing. If you know Christ and you've kind of gone off the track, so to speak, you can do all these other things to try to find satisfaction as you're putting God second in your life. But at the end of the day, you'll realize that there's always a yearning that can never be filled unless you reconnect with the living God. And for those who don't know Jesus Christ this morning, you can keep going from career to career, to money, the relationship to relationship, but none of them will fill that just void of knowing the living God, because we were created to commune with God. We were created to have a relationship with God. We were created to worship God and to glorify him forever. Let's keep an eye on eternity, and let's live by being sober and self-controlled so you can pray. Let us not miss a day without communion with God. Peter continues saying, above all, it's such a great verse, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. And it's not saying that our love fixes other people's sins. Only Jesus does that. But we love people that we're not bringing up other people's sins. We're carrying with such a heavenly, godly perspective that we're just like, yeah, you sinned, I've sinned, we've all sinned actually, but I'm going to love you with an unconditional, godlike love. And in a community, especially, you know, if you're in a family, friend group, you got roommates, maybe roommates that are here, you might bump heads with them a little bit, maybe not here, maybe at some other church, but maybe you might bump heads a little bit. Man, you need a love that covers and covers others. Amen? You need that, right? Because if it's like, I'm gonna be keeping track of all your wrongs, it gets awkward fast, right? When you sit down for some coffee and it's like, well, this is what you didn't do today. Well, I have what you didn't do last week. You ever had those kind of conversations? It doesn't end pretty. Love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. Peter goes on saying, show hospitality. I know some folks, you just rock this out here. But show hospitality towards one another without grumbling. Now, the reason why there might be some grumbling is because in this society, in this time, there wasn't like, you couldn't just do Airbnb. You don't just go to the Hampton Inn, the Clarkson Inn, you know, family weekend when there's not like a hotel within 45 minutes of here that's not booked, you know. It's like, we don't have those options. They didn't have those options. So if someone was traveling, it's like, the hospitality, it's like, where else are you going to stay, right? Where else are you going to go? So Peter's encouraging the listeners, the readers, hey, show hospitality towards one another, but do it without grumbling, especially in a society that was super family-oriented. And maybe I know some folks here, you're really family-oriented. Having some other folks, some strangers in the house could feel a little bit awkward. But Peter's encouraging, hey, show hospitality towards one another without grumbling. And maybe some here, maybe the Lord might be prompting on your heart to invite someone over from church, someone you meet, maybe a college student. We're blessed to have international students from other countries. Isn't that awesome? Yeah. Are you guys excited about that? I don't know. Yeah. You can give a clap. Really glad to have other folks from other countries who oftentimes just feel, you know, they're out of their sort. This isn't usually their primary first language. Great opportunity. Hey, you want to come over for a meal? You want to hang out? Just get to know each other. It's not super complicated, but it does take a little intentionality. Moving on, Peter talks about everyone using their God-given gifts. There's so much in this little passage right here. Everyone using their God-given gifts. And he's saying that as believers, all of us are given gifts by God. And you'll see that through the New Testament. Each one of you are given. If you know Jesus Christ, you're given a gift. and God has a purpose for you. And Peter's encouraging the listeners, I believe God's encouraging us today, each one of you, use your gifts to glorify God. If you don't know what your gifts are, talk with somebody. Ask the Holy Spirit. Talk to another mature Christian. We have a course called Network. We'll run in the spring that helps you. But you don't have to wait till a course. You can be asking God, Lord, what gifts do I have? For some of you, you know what your gifts are, but maybe you just haven't been using them. Maybe for whatever reason you pulled back, and I would encourage you, plug in. Let's not wait another week, a month, a year, 10 years to be on the side watching others working together as a family of Christ. I encourage you, all of you, plug in. We're all in. There's no like MVPs, and there's no like, oh, you're going to be benched. Each one of us can play. What God has called you to do is of no more or less significance than what God has called me to do. And when I was younger, I used to think that the pastor, whoever stood up front, had a bigger calling than what I had on my life. So I'd be like, well, if I had, you know, what the worship team leader had, or the person speaking had, or that special evangelist had. But each one of you has a special calling. You are deeply valued. And the encouragement I want to give you is use your gifts, be active. If you're going to teach, teach to the Lord. If you're going to stay at home for the Lord. If you're working, work for the Lord. Students, study and give your homework as a way that you're doing it to Jesus. Whatever you do, do it unto the Lord. But please do not wait, because I don't think we have the time just to wait. God is waiting and patiently wanting all to respond. But there will be a time when he'll come back, and that opportunity for people to come to know Jesus, our family and friends who don't know Jesus, that time will come up. So I want to just give a little urgency. If you feel like I'm just going to wait, I'll encourage you. This is actually a really good time to press in. It's a really good time to be active in the things that God has for you. I was getting coffee earlier this week. I was over at one of the two coffee places that are local. You'll have to guess which one. And I was talking to a buddy that goes to another church, and we used to be in a prayer meeting. And he has this really cool job. He flies all around the country to all these big cities doing some cool computer software thing. I don't know. Too technical for me. But I just loved it because he helps out in the church that's right in the Potsdam and another church. But it's cool. He's telling me, Jim, and I had permission to share a story. He's like, Jim, something I do, I feel like God's called me to do. So when I go to these cities, I research any startup churches, any small churches, like of 10 people, 15 people. And I pray and pray and pray as I'm on the plane. God, would you give me a word of encouragement for the pastors and the leadership team at these churches? So he literally is hopping around all around the country several times a month. And he goes to all these small churches. He gives them prophetic words that he feels like God's put on his heart. He'll come back usually a year later. And he's like, it's so cool. He's like, I'm coming back to churches I visit a year later, and that prophetic word has come true. That encouragement for that startup has come true. He even articulated this way. He's like, Jim, God has allowed me to work this job so I can go encourage pastors. He didn't see himself as working a job and happening to occasionally encourage pastors. He saw his primary role, this job just allows him to go around the country and encourage people. Isn't that awesome? So he didn't see it as a secondary obligation. I'm going to live for Christ, the will of God. He saw that as his primary, and he saw his vocation as something that was allowing him to do that. So I encourage you, wherever God has called you, what would it look like to put Christ first? Peter continues saying, if you're going to serve, do it as faithful servants. Once again, that whole thing, if the master came back, are we going to be faithful to what he's asked us to do, or are we just going to be doing our own thing? Two conditions he gives kind of for how to be living in a serving way. He says, if you're speaking, speak the very words of God. Now, for some of us, we like to talk a lot. I like to talk a lot. well, too much, actually. I got to work on the listening part more and more. And maybe some of you, I'm sure, you also like to talk a lot. You can just blab on like a waterfall of words, maybe. And for others of us, maybe it's really hard to talk. So you really think through your words. Praise God for those people, right? Just like you thought through those words. You did not just say that. Trying to backtrack a waterfall never works. But if you're speaking, for those, whether we speak a lot or speak little, this I thought was a great challenge. But to speak the very words of God, to speak words that build up, that give life and meaning and purpose, that don't destroy, don't tear down, don't bring people farther away from the purposes of God. So for those, as you're speaking, that's a great takeaway. How can I speak the very words of God? The only way I know personally how to do that is if I'm talking with God all day and listening. What do I say, God? What don't I say? What do I say now? Right? Because if you want to speak the very words of God, you got to be connected to him throughout the day. He goes on to those who are serving. It says, serving with the strength God provides. So for those who are weary this morning, maybe you are serving, you're feeling kind of worn down, I would just pray and encourage you to receive just a refreshing from God. Serve on God's strength. Anytime we pull away from John 15 abiding, where we don't abide with God daily, but we keep serving in the supernatural and spiritual ways, we eventually will just get more and more dried up. Because we can't accomplish spiritual goals on physical means. We only can do that by abiding in Christ. And for those maybe who are worn down this morning, and believe me, I've been there many times myself, John 15, read it, study it, stay there for a week, and just apply it. Just abide with Jesus, because it's from our overflow with the God that we're able to serve. And all this concludes, as Peter said, and I want to wrap up with this verse again. It says, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. And everyone said, amen. Amen. So we want to glorify God. We want to praise him, not ourselves. We want to extol God, not ourselves. We want to magnify Jesus, not ourselves. We want to celebrate Jesus, not ourselves. You guys get it. We want to glorify God every single day. Jesus came back today during the service at the end of the day. Man, I was giving everything I got. I was trying to speak words of life, trying to serve the strength that God has given me, trying to care for people in a way that really showed God's love, not judging people, but loving people, not going back to past patterns of sin and hurt, but really going into the new kingdom life that Jesus has given us. We have every resource we need to be able to follow God. That skit in the beginning, which was so powerful, and I just want to relive that in my mind over and over again, it's so powerful because it's on a powerful text in the Bible, in Romans 8, that there's nothing that can separate you from the love of God. So there's no difficulty you can face, no situation that God's not greater and won't meet you there. Amen? Amen. I want to invite the musicians up at this time, and we're going to have a practical response time to this message as the musicians are coming up. Two things, actually. Awesome, right up here. Renewal and rebirth. I want to talk about renewal and rebirth, and we're not talking about physical rebirth, spiritual, we'll talk about that. But renewal. I've been studying the book of Joshua, and as in the Old Testament, as Joshua's going through with the people of God, there's a point, and I forget the exact chapter, but he's talking with those who've been following God faithfully. They've been taking over the promised land as God told them to do, being faithful to that, you know, bumps along the way. But overall, they did a pretty good job. And he gets to a place, and he says, you know, he's like, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. But for each one of you, you're going to choose. Like, they've already been going with Joshua and following God. It's not like a whole new group they just mustered. These are like people who have been fighting alongside of him, going with him. He's like, for some of you, you might want to go back to some of the gods, some of the idols that your fathers used to follow. If you're going to do that, go do that. For others, you're going to want to follow some of the gods, some of the idols, anything that's lower than God and not God, that the current people you're with are following. You can go do that. He's like, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And sometimes in our life, we get off. We start following an idol. And a lot of times, you might be thinking like a little wooden statue or rock. We don't have those kind of idols. But an idol is literally anything other than God that we serve first. It can be family, job, be a bunch of different kind of sins. It can be money, career, school, academics, relationships. Anything that we put before God biblically is called an idol. So I'm going to have a moment as we're just having some instrumental music playing. If you can go to a place of just prayerful reception, just kind of bow your head, close your eyes. I want you just to have a moment just to, with the Lord. Maybe you're in this place this morning. You realize you've gone off track. You know Jesus, but you haven't been putting him first. Maybe he's been a second, third. Maybe he's not even on a top 10 list right now in your life. But you're like, today, I want to choose God. Today, I want to ask for forgiveness, Lord. Today, I want to put you first in a way that just honors you and glorifies you. Because, God, I deeply want to be satisfied in Jesus. And, Lord, I deeply want your name to be known. As we're in a place of just reflecting and a place of prayer, I want you to think about that. You know Jesus Christ, but you've gone off. And you're saying, this morning, I want to recommit. Like Joshua said, he's going to follow God. We're not responsible for the person's walk with the Lord on next to us or besides us. We can't control anyone else's walk with the Lord. But God does ask us, what are we going to do personally? So what do you want to do this morning? Just think about that. For those who maybe gone off, And I want to talk as you're thinking about that. For those who are here and don't know Jesus Christ, maybe you've been coming, or maybe this is your first time, and you have yet to experience the love of God. In John chapter 3, Jesus was talking to a very smart, intellectual leader, a man named Nicodemus. And Nicodemus wanted to know more about who is this amazing miracle worker. But Jesus cut through and knew what he was really looking for. He was really wanting to know, how can I know God? And Jesus said, anyone who wants to be part of the kingdom of God needs to be reborn. Nicodemus was like, how can I be reborn again? And moms in here are like, no, we're not having adults reborn. Don't do it. But Jesus wasn't talking about physical rebirth. He was talking about spiritual rebirth. Because the Bible says that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That we are dead in our sins and transgressions against the Lord. Spiritually dead. I'm not talking physical. Spiritually dead. But Jesus has come to give us life and life abundantly. In a moment, I'm going to have opportunity for those who maybe you feel God working on your heart and you're saying, yeah, I want to give my life for the first time. We're going to have opportunity to do that in just a moment. But as we're in a place of prayer, I want to get back to the folks. You know the Lord. So you know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. But you realize, I want to recommit, God. I want to say sorry for the things I put in front of you. Whether good things or bad things, you're realizing I want to recommit to you. I'm going to invite you actually to do something that's a bit different this morning, but just as a way to just say, you know, I'm going to make a stand. I want to say, God, I want you first in my life. I want to glorify you. If you're here this morning, you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, but you've gone in a different direction where you're saying, I want to recommit my life this morning. As an act of a declaration from your heart, I want to just invite you to stand. I'm going to invite you to stand. If you're saying, I want to put Christ first, recommit. Yep, just stand. There's people all over the place standing. Just as a personal decision, don't let other people influence you. You and God moment, saying, Christ, there's been something else first. I want to put you first this morning. I'll give you a moment. People standing all over the place. Those who know Christ, I want to put you first. I want to just have a moment to pray for you while you're standing. God, you see the men and women here who are standing, and God, I'm believing in their hearts, and God, you know their hearts. They're declaring, God, I want to put you first again. God, I want to be for your ways each and every day. God, I want the will of God to be accomplished. And Lord, I pray that you would strengthen those who are weary. God, that you would help those who are feeling hopeless be filled with hope right now. God, I pray for those who have tasted other things that they thought were good, but realize that the goodness is only found in you. God, that they would get a sweet taste of your presence this morning, Lord. God, I pray for encouragement and refilling in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. You may be seated. As we're still in a prayerful place, I do want to just have an opportunity. For those who are here, and maybe you've never given your life to Jesus, meaning you've never had a time where just you and God just saying, God, I want to know you. God, I want to put you first. Jesus, you died for all my sins on the cross. God, I want to say thank you. And Lord, I want to follow you all my days. Maybe you've done life and you realize I put me first. And I've seen where that's got me. But God, there's a longing in my heart that cannot be satisfied. I want to let you know Jesus is the one that can fill that longing. When I was 5 years old, only 5 years old, I share this story, but I love it. I remember praying with my mom or going over to talk with my mom. I was in Connecticut, and I went over. My mom's like, hey, what do you want to talk about? I'm like, I don't really know. My mom's like, are you hungry? And I was like, that's a good question, actually. But I'm not hungry. But I remember trying to articulate that there was this void in my life as a five-year-old that I realized nothing in this world could satisfy. And I remember hearing someone say that Jesus Christ can satisfy your deepest longings. Jesus Christ can give you meaning and purpose. Jesus Christ can give you new life. And if you're here this morning and you're like, yeah, I want to know Jesus Christ. You've realized you've done wrong. You want to ask for forgiveness of the Lord and you want to put him first today. I would also like to invite you just to stand. It's a declaration of the heart, but I want to invite you to stand. If you're here this morning and you do not know Jesus Christ, but you're saying, I would love to start a relationship with him, I would invite you to stand as a declaration saying, God, I want to put you first. I want to put you first. Is there any here this morning that you're like, oh, I want to know Jesus? Yes, there's one person standing. Can we clap our hands? Yep. Others who are standing this morning, you want to put Jesus Christ first. Oh, you can keep standing. Sorry, keep standing. We'll have some other folks, yeah, possibly join you. Any others who are here that you don't know Jesus Christ and you want to give your life to him this morning, and as an act of an internal, it's an internal heart decision. It's not like an external stand, but an internal heart decision with a stand. That's what we're doing this morning. Any others that you're saying, hey, I want to put Jesus first this morning. I want new life in God. I don't want to rush this opportunity, because if you're here and your heart's pounding, you're feeling like, God, I want to know you. I don't want to miss anyone here that's feeling that, God, I want to know you. We're going to take a moment. You can keep standing, but we're going to take a moment just to pray. And God, I just want to say thank you for this lady standing here, God. Lord, it says in heaven, or it says in your word, that all heaven rejoices every single time someone who was lost has been found. And Jesus, we want to rejoice with you in heaven. And God, we just want to do, just join in with our sister here who's saying, I want to know Christ. And I'm going to actually lead us in a prayer. Everyone, let's recite this together. You can repeat after me. It just has a commitment to the Lord. Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for dying on the cross. Thank you for taking my sins on you. God, I ask for your help and your guidance to put you first. God, lead me on today and all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen.